Let's go to Acts chapter 2. With today being Pentecost Sunday, I want to start with that, but I got to shift it up a little bit here, right? Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2, and let's start at verse 1. And it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Kind of like in here today, amen? And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. So they were not praying in tongues. This is the gift of tongues that was in operation. They were speaking a language they did not learn naturally. You get it? There's a difference between praying in tongues and the gift of tongues. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes. Boy, we kind of get the point here, don't we? Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues. The word tongues means languages. That's all. Tongues, the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, they are full of new wine. Isn't it interesting? You had two different kinds of people there. You had the ones that were seeing it from a right perspective, and then others said, nah, they're just drunk. Right? Today I want to talk about the radical Christian. I want to talk about the radical Christian. In particular, I want to talk about characteristics and what it means to be a radical Christian. Say radical. I like that word. I like it. It's out of the box. It's out of the comfort zone. Amen? The word radical, what does it mean? Listen to this. I love it. The word radical is defined as departing markedly from the usual or customary. Or, I like this one. Here it goes. Let's take it a little deeper. Or seeking to make drastic reforms in society. I'm talking about the radical Christian today. See, who decides what the usual is? I'm talking about outside of the Word of God. Who decides these standards? Who says, right? Who says, hey, a pastor shouldn't be acting like that? Who decides, right? Or when they tell you something, they say, well, they say. Who's they? Who sets these standards, right? Well, a pastor should be wearing this. Or are you following me? I'm just talking in general. I'm not talking about me. I'm just talking in general. We're keeping it general today, right? But here's the catch. So, departing markedly from the usual or customary or seeking to make drastic reforms in society. Here's the catch. The usual or customary in God's eyes for his people has become unusual in the body of Christ. Radical Christians, I hate to say this, it pains me to say it, but radical Christians are not the majority in the body of Christ. They've gotten too watered down. Say watered down. If they were the majority, we would be making a greater impact on this earth for the Lord Jesus Christ. We would be making more drastic reforms, come on, in this society, amen? So when I'm referring to a radical Christian, I'm talking about departing from what is usual in the church, what's usual in religious circles that are against the word and the will of God. Are you getting it? Are you picking up what I'm laying down here? A radical Christian, listen to this, is one that incorporates his faith or her faith in every aspect of their life. Jesus is literally, come on, literally the center of everything they think, say, and do. Everything. That's where it all begins right there. If you're not putting Jesus at the center, you do not qualify to be a radical Christian. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit revealed this to me. He said, it wasn't until the disciples were filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't until then that they said, I will give my very life for the Lord Jesus Christ. I will die for my faith. I will stand for righteousness. Are you following me? I'm talking about the radical Christian. Say radical. Romans 12:2 says that we are not to be conformed to this world. That word conformed literally means this, pressed into the mold of the world. How many of you know there's pressure? There's pressure to be in this mold of this world system, right? It says, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice that there's three things there in connection to the will of God. The good, acceptable, and perfect. Good, acceptable, and perfect. I want to be in the perfect will of God for my life. I don't know about you, but I want that. Amen? So that tells me then, being that there's three different wills of God that this talks about, this tells me, first of all, that there are some beliefs and mindsets that we're holding on to in our lives as Christians that are against what the Word of God teaches. Secondly, it tells me that those false mindsets or false beliefs literally cover up the will of God from being revealed to us. In other words, your mind has to be transformed with the Word of God for you to even perceive the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. Are you getting it? So it all comes down to the thought life. We need to be transformed by the Word of God. The Word of God is the only tool that can transform your mind. If you're not getting into the Word and the Word's not getting into you, the only option you have at that point is being pressed into the mold of the world. That's it. So to depart from the usual or customary, to depart from dead religion, we need to renew our mind with the Word of God. I hate to say it, but listen, we've all been taught things in our life in growing up that are not a part of the Word of God. But we carry these things into our life, right? It reminds me of a story where this lady for Thanksgiving, she would make, or Christmas, whatever, a holiday, and she would make a ham, and she would always cut the ends off of this ham, and she would put it in, and she would cook it. Finally, someone said, why do you cut the ends off on the ham? You're taking a lot away from it. She goes, oh, well, my grandma always did it, so I just did it. Didn't make any sense, but it's a tradition that she picked up that she didn't even know why she was doing it. We are holding, listen, whether we like it or not, all of us, we are holding on to things that we ought not be holding on to in connection to our walk with the Lord. So that's why it takes a humbling to say, look, okay, I might not be right in everything. Oh, someone got that. We might not be right in everything, right? We need to be a little open to know what are we holding on to that we need to get rid of, right? So it seems that as if the usual or customary thing in Christianity anymore is that Christians are very reserved and quiet about their faith in Christ. Almost as if this, ready? Almost as if this. That they're ashamed to talk about Jesus Christ and the Word of God at their work or any other worldly setting. How many of you know it takes guts? It really does. It takes courage when there's a group of people at your workplace that are all, basically the devil incarnate. Come on, somebody. And you standing up and being that one that sticks up for Jesus. And now let me tell you this, once you cross that barrier of fear, man, I'll tell you, it's almost like a floodgate opens in your life. It's like, it's just getting over that one time of doing it. And then they'll start to make fun of you. They'll start to do something. And finally, your boldness will rise up because you cross that barrier. You just need to cross that barrier one time, and I promise you, you will feel the Holy Ghost rising up on the inside of you and giving you that courage. And guess what? All those devils incarnate, guess when they have a problem in their life, guess where they're going to come? To you when they have a problem. And guess who has that open door to speak into their life? You. So let me remind you of this. The deceived religious people accused Jesus of having demons. Oh, let me say it again. You didn't hear me. The deceived religious people accused the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, of having demons. The people who were the self-righteous ones, who were caught up in this dead religion, just in the mindset of just the works, they said, Jesus, you have demons. Now, wow. Boy, they're off, weren't they? So that tells me then that some people in the body of Christ are confused when it comes to the reality of what it means to be a Christian. This also tells me that it's possible for people to get confused. How do you like that crack of the voice? To get confused. Go ahead, laugh. For people to get confused and offended when the anointing is present in a service. Have you ever had that? Maybe someone visiting from another church or something, they come into a service and they're like, well, I never. Well, that's because you never experienced it before, right? Wow, they're just radical. No, we just want to, we want to incorporate Jesus in every area of our life. We want to let him in every area of our heart. Amen? You can never be too radical for Jesus. Listen to this. We need to be so filled, so immersed with the Word of God and the Spirit of God that we shake off the dead weight in our lives so that we can accomplish the will of God with joy and boldness in our life. Listen, whether you know it or not, and myself, we're all carrying around some kind of dead weight in our life. We are, right? Are you human? Then you're carrying some kind of a dead weight somewhere that you need to get rid of, all right? When we get transformed by the renewing of our mind, that is when we will truly become radical Christians. Now, there are four main ingredients to becoming a radical Christian that I want to briefly mention this morning. Number one, the first ingredient to become a radical Christian is the Word of God. The Word of God, number one. Number two, as I mentioned, is the Holy Spirit, all right? The Word and the Spirit. We need both, the Word and the Spirit. Amen? And then the third ingredient, are you ready for this? You need holy discontentment in your life. Holy discontentment in your life with the usual and with dead religion. Holy discontentment. There needs to be that something in your heart that says, there's got to be more than this. There's got to be more than this. There's got to be more than just attending a service or two. There's got to be a hunger on the inside of you, or else you'll never get to that place of being a radical Christian. And then the fourth ingredient is there must be a hunger and a desire for the presence of God in your life. Just like Moses, He told God, he said, God, if you're not going with me, I don't want to go. When you wake up in the morning, before you walk out that door of your house, you got to say, God, I need your presence to saturate my life. Amen. Or else I am nothing and I will accomplish nothing positive on this earth without you. There has to be that hunger for his presence. So those four ingredients, when mixed together, will cause an explosion in a Christian that will cause them to make an impact in cities, in counties, states, countries, and the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. I guarantee you, if those four things are active, they will, I mean, you'll just burn. You'll burn. Someone said, and I can't remember the revivalist who said it, He said, get on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ, and people will show up to watch you burn. Because it will draw them. It will draw them like a magnet. Get on fire for Jesus, and they'll want to come and watch you burn. Amen? Listen to this. A radical Christian is one who stands out from the world. He or she is absolutely not like the world. It's different. The unsaved and those in the world, they have all proven, even you before you got born again, you have proven that nothing in the natural realm will bring you true fulfillment or contentment in your life. Why? Because all of them out there, whether they admit it or not, and they probably won't because of their pride, they are looking for something different than what the world is offering them. That's why I find it such a slap in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ when we water down the message, thinking we're doing God a favor because we don't want to offend people. No, they're looking for something different. They need, oh, here it is. Oh, here's true Pastor James fashion. They need a spiritual slap in the face. They need it. They need that spiritual smelling salts to wake them up. That is why it's okay to be radical and to let your faith be in Christ be so evident and let your voice be heard. Listen to this. Don't worry about pushing people away with the truth by being too radical for Jesus. We are called a peculiar people on this earth. Guess what? If you're going to walk the way God wants you to walk on this earth, you're going to be looked at as strange. You're going to be looked at as a weirdo. But Jesus said, you know what? Take that as a badge of honor in your life. You are blessed when people come against you. You are blessed when people come against you and persecute you. Amen? Come on. That's why I can go into a library in town and rip them up and down and not care. Because I know the message I'm speaking, the Holy Ghost is backing it. And I guarantee you we made people think about it. See, offense is okay if you're doing it with the truth. Are you following me? Don't worry about offending. If you go ahead, offend them with the truth. Hopefully they wake up enough to take hold of the truth. Amen? God wants you to be bold and radical for him. The usual in God's eyes for his people has become unusual in much of the church's eyes. All right, the body of Christ. When we compromise by watering down that gospel to a seeker-sensitive level is when we blend into that world system and we make no impact. You know what God calls that? Lukewarm. Got a little hot, got a little cold. God says, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Why? Because you blend in. You're blending in, and God's called you to stand out. We are not called to blend in with the world. Amen? We are not called to imitate the world system, but we are called, in Ephesians 5:1, we are called to be imitators of God as dear children. Amen? There is one thing that's clear from the Word of God about Jesus' ministry on this earth. He was bold, and he was indeed radical. Amen? Jesus was a reformer. Say reformer. He promoted change among those that were caught up in the tradition of man. But it's the tradition of man, Jesus said, that makes the word of God of no effect. Traditions of man take the power away from your life. Amen? So don't compromise. Don't compromise the fullness of the gospel message because you are afraid of rejection. Let your light shine in this dark earth. Who cares about the rejection? You have an audience of one, and that's the only one you better be concerned about being accepted by. So Jesus was radical. He didn't tone down the message of the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus ruffled a lot of feathers. He sure did. Here's one right now. He even flipped tables over. He flipped tables. See, there's a time. That's why you got to be led by the Holy Spirit. Because there's a time where you put that sugar coat on something and you tell someone something so sweet. You know, you won't want to hurt their feelings. You better be led by the Holy Ghost. And then there's a time to flip a table. You better determine which is which. The Holy Spirit will show you what route to go. Amen? Say, sometimes I got to flip tables. So Jesus made the religious people mad because he wouldn't conform to their traditions. He wouldn't just blend in. All right? So what I find amazing is this, that Jesus was hated by those caught up in dead religion, but he was loved by the sinners. Isn't that amazing? In fact, this is one of the reasons why the religious people were mad at Jesus. They said, this dude is eating with sinners. What is he doing? Really think about that. See, we got to be careful with our attitude toward the unsaved, because here's the thing. How are they ever going to change if we don't make contact somehow with them to get the message to them? How are they going to change if we don't show them the love of Christ, right? So we have to be mindful of that. I think it's real easy after we've been saved for quite a while that we kind of forget where we came from. We kind of forget how, you know, when people ministered to us when we were in that place, when we were the ones making fun of those Christians at our workplaces. Are you following me? All right. So the unsaved are searching for Jesus, but you got to understand this, in all the wrong places. All right? They need us Christians to be bold and radical. They don't know it, but they need us to be radical. Because if they don't get saved, an eternity in hell and eventually the lake of fire is awaiting them. So we really got to get a spiritual mindset on this. And then the word says, you who are spiritual, maybe someone who's in a backslidden condition, right? It says, you who are spiritual, restore such an one. That word restore is the same word used in restoring or setting a broken bone. You getting it? So, we need to reset some broken bones in the body of Christ. We need to reach out to people in love. Amen? So, the result of watering down the gospel message of Jesus Christ is this. It will produce spiritually weak, ignorant, and powerless Christians. God doesn't need your water. All you need is his living water. He doesn't need your human water. Are you following me? He doesn't need your human wisdom to help him out. I think God knows what he's doing. Amen. So a watered-down gospel is a powerless gospel. It's kind of like baking a cake and cookies without sugar. What's the point? What's the point? I want sugar in my cake and cookies, in case you guys ever make me some. But we as Christians are commanded to preach and teach the full, say full, the full gospel, the full good news, not just a part of it, okay? So we gotta ask ourselves, who are we trying to please, God or man? Whose gospel are we preaching, God or man? Amen? Last time I checked, we as Christians, we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent him, amen? Not ourselves. All right, So you got to come to the point of thinking about this. I don't want to have worldly popularity with a large crowd at the expense of forsaking my crown on Judgment Day. I want to be able to have a crown to throw at Jesus' feet. Think about that. Amen? Isn't that good? We're going to throw our crowns at Jesus' feet. You don't even get to keep it. Come on. That's right. So it is time for Christians to rise up and to be radical about their faith in Jesus Christ. Let your voice be heard. Let your commitment to Christ resound in the public places. God is looking for us, radical Christians, those who are willing to depart from the usual or customary way of doing things in man's eyes, from tradition of man. Oh, you guys all think I'm finishing up right now, but I'm not. Yeah, didn't you? I fooled them, didn't I, huh? Listen to this. Change is not a dirty word. Okay? It's a biblical word. And because the Word of God says that we are being changed from glory to glory. We as Christians, you got to get this, that we are a work in progress. From glory to glory to glory. So listen, stop being so hard on yourself. Here, when you figure out there's an issue in your life, deal with it. Make some tweaks. Make some changes and move on. Amen? Don't sit around and let the devil beat you over the head. Amen? So change is not a dirty word. You've got to get that in your mind. The moment you think you have arrived is the moment that you have quenched. Listen to me. That's the moment when you, the moment you think you have arrived in your Christian walk is the moment you have quenched the Holy Spirit from working in your life. Because he needs your cooperation. Without your cooperation, you don't change. So we need to have an open heart. Amen? When the Holy Spirit gives you a revelation, take it and run with it. Start living it out. Get out of that comfort zone. Here we go. A radical Christian is one that knows there is work to be done for God, and he gets busy. He or she gets busy advancing the kingdom of God. Go to Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11 here. They take seriously where Jesus said, occupy until I come. Occupy until I return. Don't, oh, okay, all right, here we go. Listen to this. Acts 1, 9 through 11. Now when he, Jesus, had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, angels, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in the like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Jesus gave some final instructions. And he ascended up into heaven. Now, you can imagine, I mean, if you've seen an individual rising up and going into a cloud, I'd be kind of amazed by that, wouldn't you? I mean, I got to admit. So you can't be too hard on these people, okay? But at the same time, these angels were basically saying this. Don't spend your time standing there looking up. He's going to return. But until he returns, get busy. Don't just stand. How many Christians do we have? Oh, my goodness. Oh, it's an epidemic. How many Christians do we have that are constantly, oh, Lord Jesus, just come. Oh, Lord. Oh, there's two more that went to hell. Oh, Lord Jesus, would you just return? Oh, there's another one that went into hell. Are you following me? We need to get busy. People's eternities are at stake right now. Time is short. There is so much work to be done. A radical Christian, listen to this, what the Holy Spirit said. If you want to be a radical Christian, the radical Christian is unselfish with their time and with their resources. Oh, come on. You've got to be unselfish. If you're going to be radical, your focus better not be on yourself. It needs to be upon other people. Amen? And helping and reaching out to others. Here we go. A radical Christian is dead to himself or herself. And is sold out for Jesus. Look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. In all fairness, I do got to say this is a little bit shorter message page-wise. So in that sense, all right. Now, but I can always ad-lib, and you know I like to ad-lib into it. Romans 6, 11 through 14. A radical Christian is dead to himself or herself and sold out to Jesus. Let's see what the Word of God has to say about this. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves. That word reckon, all right, is not a southern word. That word reckon means consider yourselves to be. Consider. It's a mindset. Consider yourself to be. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust, All right. So here's, this is powerful. So this is saying, guess what? Your flesh desires to sin. Do you notice that? Many Christians take it as, I'm tempted by this, so God must be mad at me. No. It says right here, you're going to be tempted with sin. That's not the sin. The temptation isn't wrong. It's you obeying the temptation. Are you getting it? That's what's wrong. The temptation's always going to come. You get it? So people beat themselves over the head that because of a temptation. It's like, hello, of course you're going to be tempted with sin, right? That you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. So a radical Christian, are you ready for this? A radical Christian knows that they're a dead man walking. A dead man does not obey sin anymore. Are you getting it? So it says in here, it says, listen, the temptation's going to come, but because you are in Christ, consider yourselves, reckon yourselves to be dead to that sin. When that sin comes a knocking, don't open the door. Don't feed into it. Don't meditate on that thing. Are you getting it? All right? So verse 14 says, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. See, the devil wants to take the law and beat you over the head with it. No, but you have grace, you have favor, you have been equipped with the Holy Ghost on the inside of you that you don't have to open that door of sin. So the Bible says that we as Christians were under that grace. Listen to this. This jumped out to me, all right, as a Bible teacher. This jumped out to me. The Bible says that we as Christians are under grace. Grace is above us. It's interesting how the Word of God says, come up higher. Come up higher so you can, that grace, you need to take advantage of all the grace in your life. We are under the age of grace right now. You understand that? We are under, and so that's where we need to take advantage. The Word of God says, take advantage of the grace you're under. What does that mean? Again, you have the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you. There is no temptation that has overcome you so much that would force you to take advantage of it. Are you getting it?
Yes.
All of us can overcome every temptation. This is good news.
Yes.
This is good news. Now, many people feel like they can't overcome something. They feel controlled by it. Again, that's a thought life issue. There's the conscious part of your mind, and there's the subconscious part of your mind. When you started doing something consciously for so long, listen, when you started doing something consciously for so long, it trained your subconscious part of your mind. That's why now you are in bondage to this sin, and you crave doing this thing because you started doing it consciously. Now your subconscious mind is reaching for that thing all the time. You trained your subconscious part of your mind. You getting it? So now what you got to do to untangle that mess is you need to start putting positive things in your conscious part of your mind that you're actually thinking, you're consciously doing it, and you start repetition of something good, and it'll retrain your subconscious part of your mind. So, are you getting it? So, like we're reading the Bible through in a year. We make sure we're doing this thing. I mean, we're doing this thing. Now, if we go a night and we're not doing it, something doesn't feel right. Are you getting it? So you got to train your mind. You got to train that subconscious part by starting to do things consciously in the right direction. All right. Now, a radical Christian is one that has childlike faith in God and His Word. Go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. The mind is really an interesting topic, I'm telling you. Conscious and subconscious. That's where, in the subconscious part of your mind, that's where triggers are. You know, someone says or does something, and all of a sudden you're freaking out. And you're even, in your own mind, you're like, what? Why did I just freak out like that? Because it's in your subconscious part of your mind. You've been trained that way. Something happened where you got trained that way, and you got to de-trigger that thing. Go in the opposite direction willingly. Mark 10, 13 through 15. And it says, then they brought little children to him, to Jesus, and that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God, underline it, as a little child, will by no means enter it. Now, and I want to just read verse 16. I didn't give Silas that verse, but look at this is interesting. And he, Jesus, took them, the children, up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. How did he bless them? You know how you bless someone? Speaking positive words over them. That's how you bless them, because spoken words are powerful. You get it? Now, so childlike faith means that you don't have to. You ready? This is what childlike faith means. It means that you do not have to mentally process everything before obeying God. You getting it? You do not have to mentally process everything before obeying God. If God's word says it, and the Holy Spirit's leading you in that situation, that is enough evidence for a radical Christian. That's it. When Peter was radical when he got out of that boat to walk on water, when he said, Jesus, can I come out to you? And Jesus said, sure, come on out. That was good enough for Peter. Now, it is when the natural mind got involved in that process is when Peter start to sink. You getting it? Listen to this. The Holy Spirit dwells in your heart, not in your head. Oh, okay, hold on. Let's just kind of camp out here a little bit on this one. The Holy Spirit dwells in your heart, in your spirit man, not in your head. He leads from your heart, from your spirit man, not your head. You kind of seen a pattern of what I'm trying to say here? We need to act on the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit when it doesn't make sense to our natural mind. Okay? The Holy Spirit lives in your spirit, in your heart, not your head. Do I got to say it again? Okay, good. One of the greatest hindrances of advancing the kingdom of God is a lack of childlike faith in the body of Christ. Okay? Everything has to make earthly sense to some people. All right? Earthly, human sense comes from our head, not our heart. You getting it? Peter was radical when he stood up and he preached to the multitudes after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The 120 in the upper room, they were radical when they yielded to the Holy Spirit and he filled them. He baptized them. All right? Listen, those 120 were radical when they said, hey, this is just too good to stay in this room. We need to open the door and we need to go impact society. They were radical when they left the upper room. That's why it doesn't matter how you act in the upper room. What matters is how you act outside of this upper room. Oh, come on, somebody. The 120 left the privacy of that upper room. I love it. That tells me then, when the Holy Spirit really gets a hold of your heart and life, He's not going to keep it secret. You getting it? He wants that fire to burn in society, not just in the upper room. Amen, amen. That's right. They amazed and perplexed the people, and they were accused of being drunk. From the multitude's perspective, they looked foolish. But in God's eyes, they were being obedient. But guess what? It got the people's attention. It got the multitude's attention. Amen? That tells me that people that are filled and under the influence of the Holy Spirit, many times they will be misunderstood sometimes, right? If you're only seeking to please the multitude, you will eventually get to the point of grieving the Holy Spirit. I guarantee you that. There is no way that you can please the multitude. You know what I mean by multitude? I'm talking about the people who have all these different dead religion and all the worldly people. You're never going to please them. Why are you trying? Why are you trying? You're never going to. Say multitude. If you're trying to, let me say it one more time. If you're trying to please the multitude, you will eventually grieve the Holy Spirit in your life. So to please the multitude, you have to cut some things out of God's word. And guess who else wants you to do that? The kingdom of darkness. Don't fall into it. Don't water it down. The enemy wants you to water it down because watering it down takes the power out. It takes, the Holy Spirit said it this way. He said it takes the shock factor out of it. It takes the shock factor out of it. I had a dream one time. This was five years ago. I had a dream that I was in an arena preaching. And this arena was packed. And I remember that I was up at the pulpit and I was preaching and I was trying to get this party started and I was trying to do everything I could, and people were just sitting there like this. And then I went back to the pulpit and I just started speaking simple truth. And all of a sudden, all the people started getting up, yeah, yeah, and they started praising God from the simple truth. Wow, that impacted me. That impacted me, that dream. The simple truth, listen to me, the simple truth is enough to change hearts. The simple truth is enough to change hearts. The most insignificant thing, even going up to someone and telling them, hey, how are you doing today? Hey, Jesus loves you. Hey, are you okay? Do you need to talk? The littlest thing can shift a heart. It doesn't have to be extravagant. Are you getting it? Oh, my. Now, a radical Christian, I only got two short points here. A radical Christian is a prayer warrior. A radical Christian is a prayer warrior. A minister once said these words. He said, "You are as spiritual as you are prayerful." You are as spiritual as you are prayerful. You are as radical as you are prayerful. What's prayer? It's communication. It's maintaining that intimacy with the Lord. It's about relationship. Amen? We as Christians, Ephesians 6:18 says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says this. It says, pray without ceasing. Now, that means simply this. It doesn't mean that you have to be a monk and go sit in a monastery and you're praying 24/7. Are you getting it? What it means is this. It means to maintain that heart connection of intimacy with God at all times. It means this, keeping God in your thought life, in your heart at all times. That's all it means. That's all it means. Don't make it some religious equation or anything like that. It just means maintaining that relationship at all times. That door of communication is open at any time. That the Holy Spirit knows that He can tap on your heart at any time. And you say, what do you want, Holy Ghost? I'm ready. I'm listening. I find it interesting that when God was calling Samuel as a boy, he heard, the voice of God, and three times Samuel went to Eli and said, hey, someone keeps calling my name. And finally, Eli got the point and said, that's God calling you. Next time he does it, say, God, I'm listening. Be listening. Always keep that line of communication open. Amen? There is that desire of intimacy in a radical Christian that motivates them to constantly be seeking God. Next, last, here we go. A radical Christian is one that is totally united to the heart of God and the purpose and plan of God. All right? There's a total united of the heart, plan, and purpose of God. Plans, purposes, and pursuits. Kenneth E. Hagin has a book, Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. I recommend every Christian read it. Read it once a year. It keeps you focused on what God's plan and purpose is for your life. It's powerful. See, it was that kind of uniting with the heart of God that caused great men and women of God to turn away from the praises of men to receive the praise of God. Amen? God is calling his church, his people, to a higher level spiritually. Will you be radical for Jesus? Will you break away from the dead religious chains that bind you today? Will you be bold and stand up for the word of God, even when it means persecution? Listen, here's what we all need to do. Purpose it in our heart today, not just blend in, but to truly stand out and make a difference on this earth before you go home to be with the Lord forever. Amen? Settle in your heart right now that before you leave this earth, you will make full proof of your ministry, of your calling from the Lord. Settle in your heart right now that you will depart from the usual and customary and become a radical Christian. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Prayer team, come on forward. That is when you settle that and purpose it in your heart, that is when you will impact society. You will leave a mark. When you leave this earth, people will still be talking about the seeds that you planted long after you're gone. Now, maybe there's someone in this place. You've never made Jesus Lord of your life. Today is the day of salvation. Do not leave this building without making Jesus Lord of your life. If you've never done that, come down to one of the prayer team members and they want to lead you through a prayer and make Jesus Lord of your life. Now, probably more so than that, this is the more popular option. People, you've been a Christian for a while, but you've fallen away from God. And today you need to rededicate your life to God. You said, you know what? I let that light go very dim in my life. And today I want to become that radical Christian. Today the Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart. Don't leave this place. I'm telling you right now. Don't leave this place without praying with one of the prayer team members to rededicate and to refire. Refire. It's time to refire. Amen? Time to get that jet engine started again for Jesus. Now, maybe you've never received the Holy Spirit baptism. Hey, it's Pentecost Sunday. What a perfect day to receive the Holy Ghost baptism and pray in other tongues. Amen? If you want to do that, I want you to come down and pray with one of the prayer team members. If you need prayer for anything else, we're here and we'll stay and minister to you. But thank you so much for coming. Visitors, I see new faces. Welcome. Thank you so much for coming today. We hope that you were blessed. And if any of you need me, you know where to find me. I love you all. I pray for all of you all week long. So expect breakthrough. Amen? All right. I'll be in the back shaking some hands, hugging some necks. God bless you all.